Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Thursday prayers, and it's good to be able to worship again after a busy week. Just one announcement is that on Sunday, this coming Sunday, which is also the Seafarers Sunday, I hope to have a service which will be morning worship at St. Michael's Church, Bunwell. So if anyone will feel they would like to join in that church service at 10:30 in the morning at Bunwell, please welcome to join me. And as we begin our worship this morning, let us pray. Heavenly Father, our provider, our maker, and our protector, through your goodness, we are alive and healthy enough to be able to worship you this morning. We praise you for all that you have given us, and we thank you in Jesus' name. You are a holy Lord, and we pray that we may commit all of our good deeds to you and ask that everything we do be done for your glory forever and ever. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is I Love You, Lord, and I Lift My Voice. As we will be reflecting on the theme of total dependency on God, we are also showing that our response to Him is that of love. Loving God with all our souls, with all our minds, with all our hearts, and with all our strength. And that is the greatest commandment of all. And so we begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Let us worship the Lord. All praise to his name. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. Our psalm for today is Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a mourn. Our days may come to 70 years or 80. If our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass, and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger, your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And as we think of the theme of depending on God, let us sing, "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want."
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you. For your endless love.
know, when you trust in God, God never lets you down. His endless mercy will lead you on. And so let us reflect on that hymn as we listen to the next reading.
The Old Testament reading comes from Judges 16, verses 4 till the end. Sometime later, he, Samson, fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him, so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With man hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the bowstrings as easily as a piece of string snaps when it came close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." He said, "If anyone ties me securely with new ropes that have never been used, I'll become as weak as any other man." So Delilah took new ropes and tied him with them. Then, with man hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the ropes off his arms as if they were threads. Delilah then said to Samson, "All this time you've been making a fool of me and lying to me. Tell me, how can you be tied?" He replied, "If you weave the 7 braids of my head into the fabric on the loom and tighten it with the pin, I'll become as weak as any other man." So while he was sleeping, Delilah took the 7 braids of his head, wove them into the fabric, and tightened it with a pin. Again she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and pulled up the pin and the loom with the fabric. Then she said to him, "How can you say, 'I love you,' when you won't confide in me? This is the 3rd time you've made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. "No razor has ever been used on my head," he said, "because I've been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, "Come back once more. He has told me everything." So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." He awoke from his sleep and thought, "I'll go out as before and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding grain in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood. Bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other, Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had led Israel 20 years. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our next hymn as we prepare for the New Testament reading is Psalm 46, "Be Still and Know That I Am God." Our New Testament reading comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and verses 31 to the end. Jesus predicts his death a third time. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. The blind beggar receives his sight. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?"
"Lord, I want to see," he replied.
Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. This ends our New Testament reading. Thanks be to God.
And now for our reflection for today. And as I mentioned earlier, our reflection, the theme is going to be to totally depend on God, based on Psalm 90 and the Old Testament reading Judges 16 and the New Testament reading Luke 18. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable before you, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Totally depending on God. Psalm 90 is called the prayer of Moses, the man of God. This falls under a series of psalms which carry the phrase, "You have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. You have been our dwelling place throughout all generations." Let us pause for a minute and think of those words. A dwelling place is a place which is secure, which a person feels that they belong. And this psalm, together with others, which is a prayer of Moses, to show that we belong to God. I think some of you will remember a very old song, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." And this shows that we belong ultimately to God. But God is with us here as well. So we can't skip the fact that we are, as we are, living in this world of earth and heaven and the place where we experience everything which comes into our conscious. And for God being our dwelling place means that we live with Him as well here as we will be in eternity. And it is a psalm which calls for people's awareness, to make people aware of the rule of God. And the name it is given, which is attributed to Moses, is due to its echo on the warning Moses gave to the people, reflecting the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." If you go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, you find those reflections of Moses reminding them to listen to God, because it is within God that everybody belongs. And I'll just read a little bit from Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning with verse 4, which says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames as your houses, of your houses, and on your gates." And this is to show how integral God is in every part of our lives, whether it is in our bodies, in our minds, in our strengths, in our souls, and even surrounding us in our homes. God is our dwelling place throughout generations. And this is how Psalm 90 begins. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." In other words, this is an eternal God who has no beginning and no end. But we are limited to time and space. Our bodies, he says, are but dust, and our lives are in his hands, in verse 3 and 4, which says, You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that is just gone by, or like a watch in the night." It shows how God is permanent, yet human life is temporary here on earth. We live in space and in time, in contrast to Him who is spaceless and timeless. Our time on earth is less than a day, than one day in God's timing. Because for God, 1,000 years is like just a day gone by. He says the place for the human body is the dust, while God's scope and space is the whole universe. And even the whole universe cannot accommodate Him. In Isaiah 66, verse 1, He says, "Heaven is my throne and the earth my footstool." This is the God we can depend on, the God who is faithful. As this psalm closes in verses 16 and 17, He says, "May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. So this is a call for total dependency and undivided loyalty to God. And in the Old Testament reading, the book of Judges, chapter 16, the Old Testament story tells us of an account of a man named Samson who had taken an oath as a Nazarene. He is in a series of those judges at the time when Israel had no leader, and every time they rebelled, God sent a judge to be responsible in rescuing them. And this time it was Samson. And Samson had taken this vow as a Nazarene not to shave his hair and not to take alcohol. It means he was set apart for God, and he was under oath to depend on God totally. But as the story develops, through his marriage, he is deceived into giving the secret of his strength to someone who would later betray him and cause him to break that tie with God by giving away his vow to God. He had divided his loyalty between God and another person. But I think Samson's downfall began in verse 1, where Samson goes and spends a night with a prostitute. And this weakness becomes the beginning of his downfall. Because immediately after introducing him with sleeping with that prostitute, he meets the woman who causes him the downfall, Delilah. Some people believe that even Delilah, the person who he married, would have been a prostitute. And he gives away his oath in verse 17. It says, "So he told her everything. 'No razor has ever been used on my head,' he said, 'because I've been a Nazarite, dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man.'" And so the story, I think, which connects him with giving away his oath was really verse 1, when Samson had compromised his moral and ethical position, and that became the weakness which went along to the result of his relationship with Delilah. But I think the story is also interesting because even when Samson had made that mistake, which had led to his downfall, he continues to depend on God. And this is marked with a prayer which Samson says in verse 28. It says, "Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'Sovereign Lord, remember me, please. God, strengthen me just once more, That is a sincere prayer of Samson showing that he still values God and still depends on God and has seen the mistake he has made and hopes that God will vindicate him. And God, as dependable as he is, does answer Samson's prayer, even though it ends Samson's life, because Samson's life was not worth living anymore. He was gouged his eyes, he was blind, he had no strength, and now he had no future. And so his life ends in misery, but also the misery ends there. But God is forgiving. That's the point of the story. God does not remain adamant towards forgiving Samson, but Samson reaps the fruits of his mistakes. Yet he stands forgiven. We can see this in contrast with Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, the temptations of Jesus, when Jesus did not compromise his position. He always referred to the scriptures to hold his position against any temptation or test by showing that he was totally dependent on God, even when tested. And finally, Luke chapter 18, our New Testament reading, is a story of Jesus as he faces the cross. The opening verse of this reading says, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled." We depend on God because he's faithful and trustworthy. Jesus totally depended on God. He says, the word of God must be fulfilled. He knew that he had that task before God. Not only some things will be fulfilled, Jesus says everything will be fulfilled, even his death on the cross. And the next two verses predict the death and resurrection, which also did happen. Jesus trusted in God to the point of facing the cross and its power over death. And finally, the dependency in God helps to open our understanding to the things of God in his eternal plan. Opening our eyes implies having discernment and insight in having the correct perspective in life. Just as we saw when Jesus told his disciples they did not understand, it says. And then the next passage, he heals the man who was blind, showing that Jesus can open our understanding. I think the healing miracle there is put as a metaphor, even though it happened literally, but it is also an extension of the passage before, which says the disciples did not understand what Jesus was saying, but metaphorically the story follows, which shows that Jesus does not only open our minds to understand, but even heals our bodies from ailments which separate us from God. And so today we are called to depend on God, who cares for us and surrounds us with his presence as in the Psalms, and to remain loyal to our vows to God as in the Old Testament reading, and to receive the fulfillment of God's promises, and for our eyes to be opened and to discern and receive insight in having the correct perspective in life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, you are the source of all that is. Help us to comprehend your greatness. Help us to depend on you and to fulfill our vows to you, so that you may help us to discern your purposes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, fill us with your love in the morning, that our days may be spent in joy and in praise. Let us offer to God this day the work we do, the people we meet, the pleasures and the pains, that in everything we may know the love of God and be thankful.
Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we bless you and thank you that you made men and women to share in your love, and the planet Earth to be our home. Blessed be Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, who emptied yourself to become our brother, who died and who rose, and who lives forever. And we thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit in his ever coming to the people of God to fashion within us the life of our Lord. And we thank you for the church spanning all ages and embracing all nations, the city of hope in the world of despair. And we thank you for all our brothers and sisters around us. And we thank you, Lord, that everything comes to end, but you are eternal. When your kingdom is an eternal kingdom, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as we think of our dependency on God, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we love to be independent, and we find it hard so to give thanks for everything that happens to us, everything that comes our way. We want to feel that we have deserved success and a home and friends and honorable work. And so sometimes our thanksgivings ring false, just words that we take on our lips without meaning, without understanding. We are not ungrateful, but we expect our due. We feel we have earned our place in society, and that by our own labors, our own thinking, our own vision, we have got where we are. We accept our gifts as our right, so we forget that the whole earth is yours and that you gave it to us. We forget that the breath of life is your gift and you made us living souls. We forget that our best purposes are yours and that you have inspired us to achievement and strengthened as our fulfillment. Give us, therefore, a grateful heart, O Lord, that we may offer our thanks with gladness and understanding, mindful that all things come from you, and that without you we have nothing and are nothing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Father of all mercies, we now call to mind with gratitude things for which we so often forget to give you thanks. We thank you for our ordinary everyday blessings as well as for life's special mercies, for our work as well as for our leisure, for the rain as well as for the sunshine. We thank you for saving us from hidden and unknown perils, for the sufferings and sorrows that have drawn us nearer to yourself, for the lessons we have learned in life's dark valleys, its crises and sorrows and conflicts. We thank you for your providential ordering of our steps, for not granting us some of the things we prayed for overruling our failures and mistakes for our good and for your glory. Of these things, our Father, keep us ever mindful, and for these things accept our thanks. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And let us pray for the nation.
Accept our gratitude, O Lord, for our Queen, for a happy home life she has established at the heart of the Commonwealth. God save the Queen, all who are dear to her, and all who advise her. Cleanse our national life and raise up leaders for our land who shall be beyond pettiness and self-seeking
and who shall make our commonwealth the instruments of your will among the nations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And for those in authority, O Lord, our governor, bless the leaders of our land, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves and a blessing to other nations of the earth. To our Queen and government and all in administrative authority, grant wisdom and foresight in the exercise of their duties, that they may provide for the needs of all our people and fulfill our obligations to the community of nations. Teach us all as citizens of this country to rely on your strength and to accept our responsibilities to one another, that we may serve you faithfully and our generation and honor your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we pray for those engaged in the political life of the nation as members of Parliament. Help them to put loyalty to what is right above loyalty to party or class, above popularity or the praise of men. And may their only motive be to serve their country and prepare to promote the welfare of their fellow men. We ask this for the honor of your holy name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Remember before you, O God, those who exercise authority among us and influence public opinion in church and state, in industry and commerce, all who speak to the nation through broadcasting and the press, and all who have power over the lives of others. Grant them the humility to seek your guidance and the courage to do your will, so that more people may be led to the knowledge of you and to the service of your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, as we gradually move out of the pandemic, let us pray, and especially thinking of NHS and those who have been busy at the front line, and everybody who took part. God our Father, we remember before you with gratitude those who in their different capacities serve the community. We pray for those who safeguard the public health and minister to the sick, those who provide for the welfare of the young and care for the elderly and infirm, those who serve in local government, administer the law, and preserve the peace. Assist them in their varied duties and deepen within us all the spirit of loving service. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And in the time of silence, let us think of those who have been ill among us. We pray for Robin, for Jill, for Molly House, and for Ross. Lord Jesus, you healed many who were blind and lame and suffering from many kinds of illnesses. We believe your healing power is as great as ever. We bring to you those whom we have mentioned by name and others, that they may receive comfort and hope and recovery of health. Take our thoughts and prayers and use them to further your work of healing today. For your name's sake, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Most merciful Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, grant to your servants grace to desire only your good and perfect will, that whether living or dying, they may know themselves to be yours, both now and forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And in a time of silence, let us think for those who have died. We continue to remember Jill Davis, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
for our diocesan prayer calendar, Thursday, the 9th of July. We pray for Truz Church in Norwich for clergy Rosemary Braby. We pray for diocesan secretary Richard Butler and PA Gemma Waldy. Lord, may you bless them and bless your work and protect them in this time as we see it as transition, but also an unknown future. We also pray for the dioceses and bishops in Northern Carolina, the Episcopal Church, Bishop Barry Basner, and for Badagry in Nigeria, Joseph Adeyemi, and in Ballarat, Australia, Gary Wetherill. Lord, bless your work, bless your church, and bless your people. For our team, Thursday, we pray for the Interhouse Group Zoom meeting each Thursday, studying the passage for the following Sunday. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Keep us, O Lord, in the joy, the simplicity, and the compassionate love of the gospel. Bless us this day, and those whom you have given to our care, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen. And our final hymn, Shout for Joy and Sing Your Praises to the King.
Shout for joy and sing your praises to the King. Lift your voice and let your hallelujahs ring. Come before his throne to worship at the dawn. Enter joyfully now the presence of the Lord. You are my creator.
Yes, we have a reason to shout for joy and sing praises to Jesus as our King, because look at the list which he mentions here. He is the Creator, he is the Healer, he is the Provider, he is the Deliverer,
He's the Redeemer, and He is the Shepherd and the Guide. And so may we go out depending on God through Christ, that He is our rock and our salvation, as well as all these other things which have been mentioned. And so as our Lord Jesus Christ said, as the Father sends me, even so I send you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you.